Hey everyone, thanks for connecting with this message from Hurricane Community Church, where we're all about inviting people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to connect with us further, consider subscribing to our YouTube channel or following us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Most importantly, we hope that connecting with HCC will help you take next steps in connecting with God. But anyway, we're going to have some fun this morning, okay? So I want to welcome everybody in the room, welcome everybody online. So good that you've chosen to spend this time with us. We all want to have fun. The fun factor in life should be high. We should experience life in such a way that we experience joy because we have fun and life is worth making fun. Now, sometimes we don't know how to have fun. And sometimes we need to give ourselves permission to have fun. And sometimes there's wisdom in figuring out how to build fun into the routine and rhythms of life on purpose, consistently. The nation of Israel had or has 7 different feasts that they celebrate on a routine, regular basis. The modern day look of these feasts is different than what it was in the ancient culture, but they still celebrate some form of these feasts today. Now, when we think of a feast, we tend to think of a big meal. These were more like festivals, which were more like big celebrations and big parties. Food was included, because you always got to include food, right? Food was included, but food was not the central focus or the primary purpose of the feast. These feasts, the word that's translated feast or festival in the Hebrew language, which is what the Jewish people would have probably still speak today or read today, the Hebrew word is moed, M-O-E-D. Is that a slide? No, it's not a slide. It should have been a slide. I should have made one. You could make one now. Amanda could make one now. I couldn't make one now. Amanda could have it up there in like 30 seconds. So I was asked a couple of questions today about the online platform and signing in and stuff like that. And my response was, I'll have to ask. You know, I said, I'll have to ask Amanda. She knows that. I was asked a question not long ago about something else, and I'm like, I'll have to ask Sandy. That's her thing, you know. And they do such a fantastic job with that some of those details I don't have to worry about because I know they're going to be taken care of, and they're going to be taken care of well, so thank you. I don't even have any idea where Amanda is right now. Where'd Amanda go? Oh, there she is. She's in another room. She's probably monitoring this whole thing from another room right now. So hi, Amanda, wherever you are. So anyway, I told you we were going to have fun. The word moed literally means a fixed, appointed time. And so these feasts were fixed, appointed times for a specific reason for Israel to remember, to recalibrate, and refocus their attention on relationship with God. So the 7 feasts were set up throughout the course of the year so that they were done routinely and regularly to build fun and celebration and joy into the national life and into the individual lives of the Hebrew nation. And so the 7 of them are in the spring. There was the Passover feast, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of First Fruits, and in the summer, the Feast of Pentecost, and in the fall, Feast of Trumpets, Day of Atonement, and Feast of Tabernacles. Now, you'll notice that there is no feast in the winter, because no one likes winter. No, I'm kidding. There are tons of people that love winter. These were just the way they cycled out in the calendar year. So, the Passover feast occurred early in the spring. And it was a celebration that took place over the course of 8 days. And it was to remember and celebrate God's deliverance and rescue from when the nation of Israel was held captive by Egypt. The last of 10 plagues that was sent on Egypt for Pharaoh's refusal to let the people of Israel leave Egypt was one in which the angel of death passed over the Israelite homes that had painted the blood of a lamb on their doorposts. And so when the Jewish people gathered together to celebrate Passover, the Passover feast, they are celebrating God's delivery and they are celebrating God's salvation from the angel of death. And this serves as a reminder to them. The Feast of Unleavened Bread starts on the second day of Passover and goes on for 7 days. And the unleavened bread is bread made without yeast. And so during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Jewish people would abstain from bread made with yeast. They would remove, this is a fascinating image, they would remove yeast from the bread, or they would not add yeast into the bread, which would symbolize to them not adding the element of sin into your relationship with God. The Feast of Unleavened Bread would serve as a constant reminder of their need to keep sin out of their life, to keep a life fully aligned with the purposes and parameters of God. The first of feast, for, easy for me to say, Feast of First Fruits was celebrated on the 8th day of Passover. And it was celebrated to remember and celebrate God's provision to Israel. It took place in the spring, and it was to remind them that God had provided for them throughout their history and that God would continue to provide for them. The Feast of Pentecost takes place 50 days after the conclusion of Passover. And the Feast of Pentecost, two loaves of bread would be brought into the temple, and the priest would wave these loaves of bread as an offering before God. And these, they were called wave loaves. And so these wave loaves would serve as a reminder and a celebration for the nation of Israel of God's desire for relationship with Jews and non-Jews alike. Two loaves of bread, two waves, one for the Jewish people and one for the non-Jewish people. It's fascinating to me that they celebrate this every year, that God desires relationship with Jews and non-Jews alike, but yet the Jews continually went into the mindset of thinking that relationship with God was exclusively for them. It's fascinating that they did this every year, but yet still couldn't get focused on that part. So in the fall, the Feast of Trumpets would begin when the high priest would blow a trumpet, and that would call the field workers to stop working and to gather at the temple for a time of specific drawing attention to God. The Day of Atonement is considered probably the highest of all of Israel's religious ceremony and those kind of things. The Day of Atonement was a 24-hour period of confession and focus on relationship with God. They would do no work during that 24-hour period of time, but that 24-hour period of time was specifically dedicated to focusing on relationship with God and staying within the purposes and parameters of God, and confession for areas where you had slipped out of relationship with God. And then the Feast of Tabernacles. The Feast of Tabernacles is also known as the Feast of Booths. And what would happen is that the Israelite people would build a small hut or booth or something like that outside their home. And they would celebrate and remember God's provision of shelter for the nation of Israel during their time in the wilderness, between when they left Egypt and when they would arrive in the land that God would give them to call home. So those are the seven feasts. They took place throughout the year. And just like the nation of Israel, sometimes people like us need to build fun, celebration, feasts, festivals into the routine and rhythm of our lives. But just like for the nation of Israel, sometimes the routine and rhythm of fun and celebration and joy in life can get swallowed up in the anxieties, tensions, stresses, and challenges of life. And sometimes those things overtake us to the point that we no longer feel like we can have fun, no longer feel like we know how to have fun, and sometimes feel like maybe even we don't want to have fun anymore. Though within each and every one of us, there's an innate desire to have fun because God has placed it within us because God is a God of fun. And the anxieties, tensions, stresses, and challenges of life don't have to overwhelm and completely remove the fun factor from our life. The nation of Israel experienced a season. It was during the days of a guy by the name of Nehemiah. Around 587 BC, the Babylonians conquered Judah and destroyed the temple in Jerusalem. Under the rule of King Nebuchadnezzar, the nation of Israel was brought to Babylonia and Babylon, actually not Babylonia. I just wanted to say baloney. They were brought to Babylon and they were basically kept as prisoners in exile once again. About 70 years after the invasion, Cyrus, who was the king of Persia, conquered Babylon and took over, and he allowed the Israelites to return to their home and to rebuild the temple that had been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. However, once the temple was rebuilt, the conditions in Israel, the conditions in Jerusalem, stayed what could best probably be described as lackluster. They stayed lackluster, including their celebration of the festivals. The people had rebuilt the temple, but they had continued to allow the sacrifice and the worship of false gods to be brought in. They even allowed it to be brought into the temple. And so they didn't stay fully aligned and fully connected with God. And as a result, they just kind of became lackluster in their approach to everything. They just got used to the way things are. Well, one of the things they got used to was, though the temple had rebuilt, the wall around Jerusalem had not been rebuilt. It had laid in ruins for about 150 years. And Nehemiah was serving, and he heard about the condition of things in Jerusalem. And when he hears about the condition of things in Jerusalem, he is heartbroken. And he returns and he leads the rebuilding of the wall. He leads the rebuilding of the wall in 52 days. And in 52 days, what had laid in ruins for 150 years had been rebuilt. And as the wall is rebuilt, something begins to happen in the lives of the Israelite people. Something begins to happen in relationship to God. Something begins to happen in relationship to fun. Something begins to happen in relationship to the feast that they had no longer been observing the way that God intended for them to observe them. And so there's more going on in the story as they begin. And this is an incredibly fascinating story. And so, some of you are aware that I tend to try to work on a message in advance. So I start doing research on a message. Hey, there's Amanda. Hey, how's it going?
It's going.
It's going. Good. So I tend to try to work on a message in advance, and I try to start doing research ahead of time, and I kind of live with one of the messages for a long period of time. You guys endure it for about 30 minutes. I live with it for months before it's ever presented to you guys. The last couple days, as I was reviewing this message, there was stuff that just came out of this story anew at me. And so I'm going to do my best today to stay to the original content and not throw out unfiltered comments to you. You'll never know the difference, probably. But so here's what happens in the story. When the Israelites had settled in their own town, so after the wall was rebuilt, everybody went back to their hometowns. When the Israelites had settled in their towns, all the people assembled with a unified purpose at the square just inside the water gate. The rebuilding of the wall led the people of Israel to gather together with a unified purpose even after the wall was finished. This part about unified purpose just jumped off the page at me. They had gone through the work of rebuilding the wall. They'd gone through this season of time when things were lackluster, and they'd been allowed to return. They rebuilt the temple, but they still allowed the foreign gods, and life just, I mean, life just wasn't a lot of fun for them at that time. And Nehemiah shows up on the scene, and he helps with the rebuilding of the wall, and they begin to see things differently because life was different. And life was different because what Nehemiah did is Nehemiah turned their attention back to their relationship with God. He turned their attention to God, and when their attention turned to God, it gave them a unified purpose together. And so the people take a step that to me is just fascinating. It says they asked Ezra the scribe to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given for Israel to obey. Now, the book of the law of Moses is also known as the Jewish Torah. And the Jewish Torah is what some of us, if you grew up in church, it's what we know as the Old Testament, a word that sometimes we use in church circles. It's called the Pentateuch, which means the first five books of the Bible. It's the five books of the Jewish law. It's the first five books of what we know as the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Did I get those in the right order? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Yeah, I wanted to flip Numbers and Leviticus for some reason. So, they actually, whatever happened in the people during the rebuilding of the wall, which continued together, and they gathered for a unified purpose. And the unified purpose was to turn their attention to God. And as they gathered together for a unified purpose to turn their attention to God, they asked Ezra to read them Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Whereas before, they were wanting to allow the foreign gods to be brought in, now they're asking for God's purposes and parameters, for God's law to be embedded in their hearts. Turn our attention. This is what they're asking. Turn our attention back to God. Tell us what God desires of us. Remind us again about relationship with God. And so they call and they have this ring. And here's the thing. It says that the Lord had given for Israel to obey. When we think of the word fun, we typically don't think of the word obey. And when we think of the word obey, we typically think of rules and restrictions that suck the fun out of life rather than breathe the fun into life, right? But what's happening here is the nation of Israel, as they celebrate the rebuilding of the wall and they turn their attention to God, they're discovering that the truest path to fun is the fun of a life aligned with the purposes and parameters of God. It's almost like the nation of Israel says, well, hey, when we were worshiping the foreign gods, things were lackluster and joy was missing and the fun factor was low and all of that. And we'd kind of gotten used to that and resigned ourselves to the way that would be. But when Nehemiah came in and Nehemiah turned our attention back to God, and we rebuilt the wall. And after the wall was rebuilt, we all gathered together and went, woohoo, the wall's rebuilt. You know, and we started to celebrate that. All of a sudden, we realized that when we did what God wanted us to do and turned our attention to God, life became a whole lot more fun than when our attention wasn't on God. They asked for Ezra the scribe to read the book of the law of Moses to them. Now, I don't know about you, but how many of you have read Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy? It's not real compelling, captivating reading. I mean, there's some pretty funky stuff in Leviticus. If you want to read some pretty bizarre stuff, read Leviticus. But for somebody who that is their history, that is their ancestors, that is the, I mean, it was captivating to them. And it drew their attention back to God. And so they read the law. And Ezra and the scribes, it says they read from the book of the law. Go ahead, next slide, Bum. They read from the book of the law of God and clearly explained the meaning of what was being read, helping the people understand each passage. Can you imagine Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy being read and then clearly explained each passage? I mean, y'all are already looking at your watches going, how long till lunch? Sometimes... the reason the fun factor in life dips down for us is because of our lack of understanding or our misunderstanding of what God intends and desires for us. Sometimes we replace God's desire for us with our desire for us. And when we get confused about that, when we wander from God, eventually, though the fun factor may feel good initially, there will come a time where the fun factor will drop because that way of life will catch up with us at some point. Israel began to have more fun when they clearly understood God's intentions, God's design, God's desires, God's purposes, and God's parameters. For many of us, the fun factor in life would increase exponentially if we could clearly understand what God desires for us and then just go all in on that. So what happens next? Nehemiah tells the people, don't mourn or weep on such a day as this, for today is a sacred day before the Lord your God. Don't mourn or weep. The nation of Israel had a tradition of mourning and lament. So much so, and this will come as a shock because we would never do anything like this. So much so that they began to equate mourning and lament with sacred and holy. That the more you mourned, the more you lamented, the more sacred and holy the moment was. Even if you had to manufacture the mourning and lament, and it was more hypocritical than holy. They believed the more holy, even if it was manufactured. And so you had to continually mourn and lament. Have you ever noticed when you get trapped up in a season of mourning or lament and a cycle of negativity and all of that, that life doesn't seem real fun? That and Nehemiah had to tell the people, this is a holy day. This is a sacred day. And sacred doesn't necessarily mean mourning and lament. Don't mourn or weep on such a day as this. This is a holy day, a sacred day. And so You may think that that means mourning and lament, but that's not what it means. I mean, we've rebuilt the wall. Let's gather together. The book of the law has been read. We've turned our attention to God. Don't mourn and weep because you've turned your attention to God. I mean, think about that. I've turned my attention to God. I must mourn and weep. I don't think that's in the Ten Commandments. I don't think that's in Jesus' greatest commandments. I don't think that's what Nehemiah told him to do. What does Nehemiah tell him to do? Don't mourn or weep. Go ahead to the next slide. Go and celebrate with a feast of rich foods and sweet drinks. Or sweet food and rich drinks, maybe. I don't know. And share gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared. This is a sacred day before our Lord. Don't be dejected and sad. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. He tells them to go and celebrate. And here's one of the things I find fascinating. He doesn't ask them if they're ready to celebrate. He doesn't ask them if they feel like celebrating. He just tells them, go and celebrate. This is a sacred day before God. Go and celebrate. Go and celebrate because the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy doesn't come from your circumstances. The joy doesn't even come from the fact that we've rebuilt the wall, though that's a great thing to celebrate and a great thing to accomplish. We rebuilt the wall because it was what God wanted. We turned our attention to God, and when we turned our attention to God, that's where the joy comes from. And sometimes in the midst of our circumstances, we have to find pockets of joy. And the way to find a pocket of joy is to turn your attention to God and celebrate that the strength comes in whatever circumstances we face from God. That's what the nation of Israel is discovering. And Nehemiah tells them, go and celebrate with a great feast. Go and celebrate. I wonder if in their minds they begin to remember the feast that they celebrated. And they begin to think, yeah, we should do this more often. We should make this a pattern. We should get back to the routine and rhythm of doing these feasts, which we had whenever we took our attention away from God. The joy of the Lord is your strength, is the message that Nehemiah gave to the people of Israel. So what did the people do? So the people went away to eat and drink at a festive meal, to share gifts of food. And I love what Nehemiah told him before when he said, share gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared. Share gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared. And to celebrate with great joy. Celebrate with great joy. Because they had heard God's word and understood them. Go and celebrate. So the people went. And they celebrated with great joy. And I got to imagine that this was probably a pretty decent party. I don't think there was much dejected and sad, mourning and lament. I think they went and they just had fun. And they had fun together. The festivals served as a reminder to the nation of Israel about who God is, what God had done for them, and the relationship that God desired to have with them. And sometimes the level of joy that we experience, the fun factor that we experience in life, is a reminder to us of who God is, what God has done for us, because my guess is for any of us, no matter what we've been through, we can look back in those situations and we can find places in which God showed up. We can find things that circumstances would have been different, but
Maybe God intervened here. Maybe God provided here. Or, you know, maybe God did something over here. And when we identify those areas where God showed up, and we specifically turn our attention to God, we're able to more effectively find the pockets of joy in the midst of circumstances. And it serves as a reminder that God continues to show up. And God will continue to show up. Sometimes we just have to look for him. And it's when we look for him is when we find the pocket of joy in the midst of whatever's going on. So, let me make a couple of suggestions to us as we wrap up this message and we wrap up the Make It Fun series about ways that when we find the pockets of joy, we can celebrate, increase the fun factor, and even share it with others. All right? All right. The first one is to face it. I heard a story about a mom and a daughter who went out Christmas shopping. And as they went out Christmas shopping, the mom started complaining about the crowd and about the prices and about her sore feet. And as the mom and daughter left one store and mom was complaining about that store, mom said, "You know what? I'm not ever shopping at that store again because of the dirty look the employee gave me." The daughter looked back at the mom and said, "Oh, mom, she didn't give you the dirty look. You had it when you walked in." We are constantly sending messages with our faces before we ever say a word. And sometimes, when it comes to increasing the fun factor in life and finding the pockets of joy and sharing with others, sometimes we just need to tell our face. We actually need to give our face permission to smile. There's a girl on Danielle's soccer team, and I have a running thing with her. And we had a soccer game yesterday, and their van was parked next to our van and all that. And the girl was sitting with the ice pack on her ankle and all that. And, you know, she looked a little dejected and sad. And this is kind of how this whole thing started. But about every time I see her, I'll just like when we got ready to pull out and we said bye, and I looked at her and I said, "Hey," I said, one time. I said one time before we go, one more smile before we go. And she just goes like that. And sometimes we just need to tell our face that it's okay to let people know that the fun factor in life should and can be high. The second is to lighten up. And then on my notes, I put the word appropriately. Sometimes we just need to lighten up, you know. Sometimes, and here's the deal. So, you know, there are times where life is serious, and that the goofy comment or the silly action or something just isn't appropriate at that time. There are times where it's not appropriate to be a goof off. But sometimes in the midst of circumstance, we just need to give ourselves permission to lighten up. Have you ever been in a situation that was a little bit tense, and then all of a sudden somebody did something to lighten the mood, and all of a sudden you felt the tension in the room ease? You know, sometimes we just need to appropriately lighten up. So, here's the deal. This morning, right now, in this moment, I want to challenge you. Each and every one of you. I'm going to look at each and every one of you in some way. Right now, I want you to tell your face that it's okay to have fun. We're not leaving until you all show me on your face. So, you know, you guys can drag this outside. You want. What the nation of Israel discovered is that the fun factor in life should and can be high. And that the fun factor is at its highest when attention is on God and life is fully aligned with the purposes of parameters of God and life is lived the way that God intends for it to live. That's what the nation of Israel discovered. And I have to wonder sometimes how much better off people like me and people like you might be if we discovered the same thing. The festivals served as a reminder, a way to intentionally build into the national life of Israel, into the routine and rhythm of the national life of Israel, fun and celebration and pockets of joy in the midst of whatever else was going on in life. And I wonder what steps people like you and people like me need to take to build fun and celebration into the routine and rhythms of our lives. So, the challenge for us today as we leave is to make it fun. I think we can do that. I think you can do that. So let's make it fun. In the meantime, here are three questions to get or keep the conversation going. Why is celebration or fun so important to make a part of the routine and rhythm of life? How do the seven feasts of Israel serve as reminders of God's role with and for the nation? And what are some ways fun might be an extension of the joy of the Lord? So, take those three questions with you as you go today and kind of kick those around either with yourself or with a small group or maybe your family or a few friends. There are more questions available online with the Next Step Conversation Guide if you'd want to dig into more questions to embed this message a little deeper in application. You'd be welcome to do that. So I hope that this series has helped us understand and increase the fun factor in life and that it is okay to make it fun. And to share that fun with others because it is an extension of who God is because God is a God of fun and God wants us to have fun appropriately. All right? So let me pray for us. When I'm done praying, we'll roll the preview video for next week's message and hope that you will join us again next week, either in person or online, and connect with a message that's called Just Passing By. Let me pray for us. Dear God, thank you for today. Thank you for this season in the nation of Israel's history through which we can discover that fun should be a part of our lives, and not just a part of our lives, but a part of the routine and rhythm of life. And for helping us understand and discover that the truest and highest level of fun is found within your purposes and your parameters. Because what you desire for us is to experience life at the optimal level in relationship with you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks again for tuning in. And we hope this message helped you take a step in your relationship with God. If you're considering other ways to connect, check out HCC's website, social media, and YouTube channels.